Welcome to this special edition of the Lance Wellnow Show. I've got a guest that I consider to be one of the foremost authorities on what's happening in the world in terms of threats to the United States, economics, and an area that he calls financial terrorism. We have been meeting about empires and how they collapse or how they can survive. And he's actually very hopeful that though America as an empire is hitting the 250th year within 24 months, 250 years is the typical length in which an empire lasts before it collapses. Kevin is talking about the fact that the American Constitution created a system that isn't an empire, it's a republic. And the shaking that we're going through may be restoring the republic state by state. We're beginning to discuss how to decouple from the dangerous debt load of government overspending and get rooted back into something stable like gold and silver. Other nations are ditching the dollar and going towards gold. And that's the reason why I'm interested in historic patterns, these 250-year empire cycles, and what Kevin has to say about what you can do specifically to prepare yourself so that you're not caught off guard. And that's the reason why I've been talking, and I'm glad I have been, for the last year about gold and silver. The Bible was the one that put me onto it. The silver is mine and the gold is mine during a time of shaking. And so I'm looking at that now and I'm saying, you know what? I think we've had like a 12% increase in the value of gold just in the last year alone. Although I'm not a financial analyst or an advisor, I can tell you this. People that made the investment in gold are glad they did. As the dollar goes down, the gold goes up. You can go to lancewellnow.com/gold, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. lancewellnow.com/gold, and it'll give you instruction on exactly how you can navigate during this period of time, how you can take even retirement money and put it in a place where it has constant stored protected value. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get into the interview with my friend Kevin Freeman. Go to lancewellnow.com/gold and buckle up. Let's go. Today, my special guest is Kevin D. Freeman, considered one of the world's leading experts on financial terrorism and economic warfare. Now, there's an interesting idea, financial terrorism and economic warfare, meaning that we not only fight kinetic battles, but we fight economic wars. Mm-hmm. There's religious wars in history. There's economic wars right now. And Kevin Freeman is an expert on that, understanding it and giving us some advice as to what's happening in the United States right now as we hit that 250-year anniversary in another 2 years. That is, the average age of an empire is 250 years. And as the currency starts to collapse, are we repeating history like the Roman Empire? Are we in the business of collapsing? And to help anchor our program, we have Mercedes Sparks, who joins us when she hears Kevin's in the studio, because she has she's the one who really has got me looking up this centralized bank digital currency, gold, and all these other ideas, because she's the crypto queen over here on our staff in terms of making money in all these fringe markets. But we're going to have her and Kevin together as our brain trust. Welcome to the show today, both of you.
Thank you, Lance.
And I brought up a big idea there, which is the average age. You got an article here my staff sent over, and you're going to be covering in your program. The average age of an empire is 250 years. Should we be worried about that? I think we're heading to our 250-year point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Fate of Empires in Search for Survival was written by Sir John Glubb. It's written like 50 years ago. And he looked at Assyria, Persia, Greece, Roman Republic, Roman Empire, Arab Empire. The average age is about a quarter millennia, 250 years, and then empires die.
Dang. I'm not happy about that in light of the Francis Scott Key's bridge collapsing last night in Maryland.
Crazy.
I'm dating the program right now, but I'm telling you, it's on my mind. When you got the guy that writes our national anthem's bridge collapses, if prophetic people would say that could be a sign. What do you see happening in terms of hyperinflation? Speaking of hyperinflation, how hyperinflation destroyed the Roman Empire? Another article that somebody sent me.
Yeah. Now, great civilizations they're not murdered. They take their own life. That's what happens. Mm. And this is Arnold Toynbee in a 12-volume A Study of History. And that's what they do. Is what happens is you become hyper-successful, Lance, and then you start taking on new projects and you decide, well, you can take in every person on earth that wants to come to your country. Oh, you bring them on in. We're the richest nation on the face of the planet. Oh, there's a war. We'll go fight the war. We'll win this. And you just start spending. Oh, by the way, we can put you on welfare. We'll take care of everybody. And you stop worrying about fiscal responsibility and you start just debasing the coinage. That's what happened in Rome. The Roman Empire, it used to be in Rome that the coins were 100% silver. A denarius was 100% silver, and that would be in 64 to 68. And by the year 268, 200 years later, it was about 0% silver.
Wow.
They debased the currency so they could just keep making more of it. Kind of like we're printing money every single day, $34.5 trillion in debt right now.
So when you talk about currency and the collapse of the Roman Empire, Carl Icahn, this other article that I have here, Carl Icahn thought the inflation of 2022 was just like the fall of the Roman Empire. He's not the only billionaire with ancient Rome in the mind. Is there really a correlation, you think, between our economics and our collapse as a country?
Oh, there's no question, because what happens is you have an agreement from society to individuals that we're going to produce for you real money. So the largest buyer of goods and services on planet Earth is the United States government. And what they do to pay you is they just print up money. So there's nothing really valid behind it. It's just the full faith and confidence that someday they'll pay you back.
Yeah.
Well, at $34.5 trillion, how long is it going to be before they're able to pay you back? So essentially, it's an unjust weight and measure. It is a breaking of the confidence or the agreement between a government and its people. When they wrote the Constitution right here, Constitution, they said the only money would be gold and silver coins, and they were specifically referencing a Spanish milled dollar made out of silver, 0.7734 troy ounces of fine silver. That was a dollar. It's not a piece of paper with Washington's picture on it. It is this, 0.7734 troy ounces of dollar. You can see that even if you look at a continental note. This is a continental note printed in Philadelphia in 1776. It says, this bill entitles the bearer to receive a Spanish milled dollar of the value thereof in gold and silver. When we break that contract with people and just say, ah, we'll pay for it. And it's like writing a bunch of bad checks. Oh, yeah, we'll pay for it eventually. Well, you write that many bad checks, you're going to lose the confidence of the people. They've broken the societal
contract. All right, now look, folks, you're smarter than the average bear. And so I give you more content than typical talk shows and podcasts. And I'm assuming you all know what the BRICS nations are, but in case it's just like in the periphery of your head, yeah, what is that? Would you explain now in the context of our desperate situation financially what other nations are doing as they look at America as the monetary benchmark for the world? Our dollars are all over the place. Our banking system is fueling it. If we go down, they're all going to bail from us. Is that what's happening?
That's what, well, there are 30 nations now in the BRICS alliance. It started with Brazil, Russia, India, China, and eventually South Africa, BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. In 2008, Vladimir Putin created this bloc as a trading bloc, but with the intention to say, hey, we don't need America. We can do it without them. And other nations have joined, and now they've decided that they want to de-Americanize the world and de-dollarize the world, something that Xi Jinping said in the year 2013, and something now they're putting into practice. They want to end the use of the dollar as the reserve currency of the world.
And so for the folks out there that are just driving their car or listening to this, what difference does that make to them if we end the dollar reserve? What is a reserve currency anyway?
Well, basically, if another nation has extra reserves, extra money, instead of putting it in the bank, they'll put it in U.S. dollars or buy U.S. Treasury bonds. And that's funded our debt. Well, here's a nation that did not have a reserve currency. It's called Zimbabwe, and they printed a ton of money. This is a $100 trillion bill from Zimbabwe. They just kept printing money. If nobody outside America will use our money, how are we going to buy goods and services or oil or anything else that we import? I mean, we import a huge percentage of what we use here in America.
Wow. I can't tell you how worried I actually am about what's going on with America, because I think we live under the idea that whatever happens, we could fix it before it's too late. Mm-hmm. But what is too late, in your opinion?
Well, that, it's called the myth of American permanence, this belief that America is always going to be there, the dollar's always going to be there. And that, great empires die. That's what we started with. What happens, though, I have good news. And the good news is that if the American empire goes away, we still have 50 productive states that have a compact that they should go back to called the United States Constitution. And if we return to this, and that's why I wrote the book Pirate Money, is helping people get back to the idea of real money under the Constitution.
All right, I want to go there, but Mercedes has her hand up, and I've learned from long experience that if I ignore that hand up, I'll be accountable later on. Mercedes, you have a thought?
Well, no, I was just thinking too, Kevin, you know, as you're talking about, you know, the threat that the American dollar is under, and we're talking about reserve currencies, I mean, they kind of rise and fall like nations do, right? So America became the world's reserve currency after World War II, because the British pound was in such heavy debt that then, you know, they switched it over to the American dollar, which I'm sure you could speak at greater length on that. But I think that the kind of the crux that we're in right now is there's almost a race to figure out who's going to be the person to fix the crisis when it emerges. Because I think when you look on, like, if the Soros banking side of the equation, they're saying that's central bank digital currencies, right? That, hey, we see it coming too, and we're going to press a reset button at some point, and the thing that's going to emerge is CBDCs, and you're not going to have dollars anymore. Maybe we'll end up with economic zones, and, you know, everybody could just buy and sell, you can tap pay, and that's the plan if somebody doesn't do anything. Now, Kevin here God downloaded this amazing strategy too, and I wanted to tee it up so that you could talk about that, because you are really creating the alternate response, God's response to when the crisis happens, and even before that, this is how the banking system should look.
Yeah, well, let's start with the central bank digital currency, because you mentioned that. Bottom line is that the World Economic Forum and the Biden administration and 120 nations of the world have said, yeah, the dollar's going to fail, every paper currency is going to fail, and so we're going to replace it with something that you use digitally. And by the way, you don't own it. You'll just have a use license permission to use it. It'll actually be owned by the central bank. And if we agree, if both the central bank and Lance Wall now agree, it's okay to have an extra cup of coffee or buy a piece of cake in the afternoon, then you're going to get to buy it. But if we think your cholesterol is too high, or maybe you've put on a pound or two, we're going to cut you off. And if you haven't taken the vaccine, we're going to cut you off. And if you own a gas-powered vehicle, we're going to cut you off. In other words, it becomes a control mechanism to tell people exactly how they can live.
And does that work anywhere in the world right now?
In China, the digital yuan, where they have tied the social credit score to your card, and you go to you spend money, you can only spend money that we allow you to spend. And by the way, if you said the wrong thing, you said Xi Jinping looks like Winnie the Pooh, and he sort of does, doesn't he? If you say that in China, you're cut off. You might disappear entirely, because he's very sensitive about that.
Wow.
But you can't buy a plane ticket, a train ticket. You may not be able to buy food. You can't buy, you know, unless you conform, you don't get to buy or do anything. It's complete digital control.
So promising freedom, men will become slaves.
That's exactly what CBDC is.
All right, so underneath your book on piracy, which I really recommend, you have a classic. There's a big book there, and this is, I'm always hearing this book quoted. So for those in my audience who have never heard of it or read it, when we come back from the break, explain to us what The Creature from Jekyll Island is. Evidently, it's a cult classic. I want to take a moment to talk about the volatile financial time that we're in. And I want you to empower yourself with knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Visit lancewalnut.com/birch and get a free information kit. Consider discussing how to shift your 401k or your retirement account into a tax-sheltered gold and silver account. Why don't you go to lancewalnut.com/birch right now and take action for a secure future. Welcome back to the Lance Wall Now Show with our special guest, Kevin Freeman and Mercedes Sparks. Look, I like to paint the problem in bold clarity, but I also like to give our frequently traumatized audience hope. And the hope is there's a solution. And the solution is going to be in something which we're going to talk about, which brings us right back to what Haggai said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, and God does have a plan. But let's start with The Creature from Jekyll Island. Why is that book spoken of so reverently by everybody I know of who's into the conspiracy about money?
Well, it's not a conspiracy. I was just there at Jekyll Island. I traveled there with Liberty Pastors, and we went and visited the Jekyll Island Club, where John D. Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan all had homes. And in 1910, they all left New York, boarded a train, pretended they were going hunting, and then had this actual meeting as a banking cartel. And they created what is now known as the Federal Reserve. It's a series of private banks around the country. Here, for example, is a national currency Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis note from early 1929, right here. They created the cartel that said, we will be the only money in America. Mm-hmm. Historically, up to that point, it had been gold and silver under the Constitution. And what they said is, we're going to replace that with something under the control of private bankers that will report to the government. Yeah. That's what happened on Jekyll Island. The book, G. Edward Griffin wrote this book to expose that which had taken place. And it's meticulously researched. It tells the conversations they were having and so forth. So they try and make it a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy. It is exactly what happened. You can go visit Jekyll Island, Georgia yourself, see the Jekyll Island Club, and they have a room that says Federal Reserve on it. And they've got pictures of the men who met there and created this.
Wow. So the Federal Reserve was their creation?
Correct. Correct. In 1913, they passed laws. There was a senator who was among that group that created a banking cartel that became our central bank that we operate under today.
Wow.
All right. So we now have that. And of course, George Soros and other current Rockefeller types and J.P. Morgan types are doing everything they can to create this great reset, to participate and lead a collapse that gives them, as Soros is so good at, a fortune at the other side of your agony. How does your book tie into this?
Well, pirate money is taking us back to gold and silver, which is in the Constitution. Gold and silver is in the Bible. You go Genesis to Revelation, all the way through, it talks about gold and silver being money. It mentions one time copper, the widow who put in the two copper coins, the widow's mite. Other than that, it's gold and silver. And so this talks about why the Constitution declared gold and silver as real money, why the Federal Reserve took us away from that. When the Federal Reserve Act was passed, our bills, this had to be backed up 40% by gold. 40% of money they printed had to be backed by gold. Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971, so there's 0% backing of precious metal to our currency today. This talks about what the Constitution says, how states can take us back to the original intent, real money, God's money. You know, gold is formed when two neutron stars collide. This is a chance to go back at the state level. Right now, it can be enacted. We call it transactional gold and silver.
Well, my spirit leapt within me when you said, yeah, empires collapse, but ours is not, our government isn't built as an empire. It's really built as a constitutional republic, and that if it collapses, it could collapse perhaps into a reconstruction of what it was supposed to be all along. Rick Joyner and others say that. But I want to tie some loose ends together. Transactions in gold is what we need, but I have no idea how we're going to get there. And by the way, these BRICS nations you mentioned are continuing to buy gold at an alarming spree. Does that mean that other countries are agreeing with this gold standard return to this or what?
Well, central banks around the world, in the West, in the East, wherever they are, they're buying gold and they're dumping dollars in exchange because they know this is real money. And individuals are buying gold. This is the kind of gold that you would buy at Costco. Have you seen that, Costco?
Yeah.
They sold $100 million worth of gold in a couple of hours when they put these little gold bars in and people wanted them more than anything else. The store was flooded with people to buy these little, it's like $2,200 for an ounce of gold like that. People want gold. Nation states want gold. The problem is, how do you get it and how do you make it monetary again as opposed to just a collectible?
So talk to me about transactional gold.
So that's the point of pirate money, is returning to the ability, both constitutionally and adding modern technology. For example, we have a bullion depository in the state of Texas. I helped him. I talked him into setting it up. I was one of the big people who argued for it. What if I put this gold in a deposit account, and they said, look, that's 1 ounce. And I went and I took a debit card and I spent 1/10 of an ounce, or I spent $220 and I bought a nice meal for my family. I went in and I just paid that with a MasterCard. And then they said, well, Kevin owns 9/10 of this, and 1/10 of this goes to the local Italian eatery where we had a fine meal. And they kept track of it. That's how Bitcoin operates. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting that this would be on the blockchain like Bitcoin is, but we can keep tabs on 1/10 of an ounce or 1/100 of an ounce or 1/1000 of an ounce. What if I owed you a debt, Lance, and I wanted to pay you, but I paid you in gold instead of in US dollars? Mm-hmm. We could have an entire gold economy brought up even as the paper economy is collapsing. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so that would be a credit card that is actually tied into gold that you have purchased or own somewhere, and someone's holding that gold. Is that how that works?
Yeah, actually, it'd be a debit card. And you could go on an app on your iPhone and you could say, I want to buy 2 ounces of gold, and you pay $4,400, and they would hold it for you. And then you could spend any fraction of that you wanted to. But it would be real gold allocated to you, held in a vault, never lent out. Never fractionalized like the banks fractionalize. You put $1,000 in a bank, and there might only be $200 in the vault, and they loan out the other $800. Mm-hmm. Never fractionalized. It would be your gold allocated, protected by your state under the Constitution, and it would give us an alternative monetary system in case things went really bad.
All right, we got 4 minutes to talk about how to make it happen. We got this Jekyll creature from Jekyll Island. We got this government that I'm convinced is sabotaging the freedom of America and almost destroying it. Mercedes, we got 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Thoughts while we're
raising my hand. I was like, I wanted to just jump in on what Kevin was saying, because the reality is it's already happening. The technology already exists. So when Kevin talks about it, you know, this isn't something that needs to be created. It already exists. It's already happening. It's just not happening here in America. And so one of the things you're really fighting for, Kevin, state by state, is to get one or two or three or five states to come alongside and say, actually, yes, we can create our own coined currency in gold and silver. And so I wanted you to talk about that, because you've been fighting this battle. You've been on the program before, like, for people are just jumping in. Like, this is an update of almost a year. Have you been working on this?
Yeah. A year and 3 months ago, we started in the state of Texas. We entered legislation. It went further than anyone ever believed. It got out of committee and out of committee, but then they impeached the attorney general. Remember when that happened with Ken Paxton? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They tried to impeach him.
Yeah, well, they impeached him, sent it over to the Senate, he got tried, and he acquitted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so they impeached him, and that stopped the legislation. So I wrote the book Pirate Money a little less than a year ago, and 25 states have legislators who read the book and contacted me and said, we want to enter legislation. Mm. And so legislation has begun in 25 states. In Texas, in the Super Tuesday primary in Texas, they had a vote, Proposition 7. Do you want transactional gold and silver? 1.6 million Texans said yes.
Awesome.
77% of the voters said yes. That's overwhelming. Now, we just testified in Louisiana. We've testified in Florida. Some states have passed bills already that say we're going to study it. Other states have passed the beginnings of it. In Utah, they passed the first half of the legislation authorizing the treasurer to establish deposits and so forth, and they're going to make it transactional next year. Other states may do it this year. There's still a few states out there where we have hope that it could happen this year. We only need one. Texas should probably be first, because we already have a bullion depository. But this is an alternative gold economy that can be set up in half of the states of America. By the way, the same 25 states are the ones that have signed up with Texas to protect our border with us, who believe in states' rights and states' authority.
Wow. I call them sheep and goat states. Those are the sheeps, people. 25 sheep states. Now, if one of these states does it, what does that mean? I mean, I'm trying to get my head wrapped around it. So that means that in that state, you could use your credit card gold system and transact with each other like that. But will that work outside the state?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For example, do you have anybody have a Discover card or a Bank of America card or whatever? None of those are Texas based. Discover is Salt Lake City based. The Bank of America card is out of North Carolina. So the idea is once it's made good as gold and silver and it's authorized by a state, you can take it and carry it anywhere. And if you're a citizen of another state, you can get an account here. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can get an account at the Bullion Depository right now.
Wow. Regardless. This is going to be huge. Whatever state decides to do it, economically, I think it's just going to be booming.
Oh, they'll be the gold capital of the world.
What state's closest?
Man, I would say perhaps Kansas. We just get texted. But you never know when the Soros-led bankers show up.
All right, tell us what happened in Louisiana, because I thought that was MAGA country out there.
Well, we had a vote in a committee, and it was 16-2 against because the Bankers Association, apparently they don't want the citizens of Louisiana to have an option with money. They only want them to have to use their bank, and they don't want them to have gold and silver sound money.
Can you believe it, Louisiana?
Well, and think how much more valuable gold is going to become when it becomes transactional like that. Like when we're not trying to shave off like half of a coin and you're actually transacting with that gold, the use of it, how many people will be driven to buy more gold. I mean, it's awesome.
This is all explained in the book Pirate Money. And you can get the copies of the book at piratemoneybook.com, or you can go to my website, economicwarroom.com, and learn all about it. I've done a half dozen shows on this.
Awesome.
All right, economicwarroom.com. That's where they want to go. Folks, nothing is more important than your financial well-being. And we've got some thoughts. We're going to give you some advice about that. God bless you, and thanks for being with us. I can't believe this program's over, but it just went so fast. All right. Don't miss tomorrow's new episode. Bye-bye.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.